From game one.
Bounce down to Giannis. Catches on ties. Hook shot down with a foul.
To game 72.
It is in the bank. It is earning interest. This one is over.
And beyond.
And the magic number for clinching the top seed in the Eastern Conference
is down to one. The place to be for the big picture on the Bucks. This is Bucks Talk. Presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Trends, tendencies, and trajectories of your Milwaukee Bucks, as well as all around the NBA.
I think this team is going to be even better than the last couple of years, and those teams are pretty darn good.
Now, here's your hosts, Justin Garcia and Greg Matzik.
Entertaining finish to the first half of the season for the Milwaukee Bucks, who earn a 112-111 decision over the Memphis Grizzlies. If it's possible to be rusty and clutch in the same night, that might best describe the night for Jrue Holiday. Plenty to get into on the program tonight. This is Bucks Talk. I'm Greg Matzik, along with Justin Garcia, as the Bucks close out the first half of the season with a 23-14 record following tonight's win. They will next take the floor 1 week from tonight against the New York Knicks. Plenty to get to. The return of Mamadi Diakite. Where is he going to help the Bucks? We talked about him on our program on Tuesday night. We'll hand out some mid-season awards on the program. Also some second-half highlights. And Giannis, drafted number one overall. We will explain. 855-616-1620 if you'd like to join us. We'll keep a kind of broad view here. We'll look at tonight's game and how it happened. And also kind of our 30,000-foot view of the Bucks going into the All-Star break. Is this about where you expected them to be? If you're going to toss out a letter grade, we can even do that as we work through the next hour of the program. 855-616-1620. Very interesting finish to tonight's game, and we'll break it down, get into our stat of the day coming up in a moment. But the net of it is this. The Bucks were clutch when they needed to be clutch. Five lead changes in the final 39 seconds. Overall, a pretty cold shooting second half for the Milwaukee Bucks. But they find a way to get it done, closing the game, scoring on eight of its final 10 possessions to ultimately take the lead. And, you know, I mentioned if it's possible to be rusty and clutch in the same night, that might adequately describe the night for Jrue Holiday. Just 6 of 14 from the field, 15 points. But if you think about two plays he made in the game's final minute, boy, they are paramount in tonight's win. He picks off Ja Morant just inside the half-court line, just an incredible hands play, gets his body in front of Morant, who falls to the ground, falls on the ball, gets a timeout, called the Bucks maintain possession, and then Pat Connaughton knocks down a three-pointer to give the Bucks a 108-107 lead. That was with just under a minute left to go, and it was part of that stretch of lead changes in the final minute or so of the game. And then it comes up with maybe the shot of the game for the Bucks, preserving the win with 2 seconds left, hitting a little baseline fadeaway on a night where he was just 6 of 14 from the field. So couldn't be happier for Jrue here, Justin. I think if you asked him, he'd probably still say he feels a little bit rusty. But you talk about clutch, man. Again, the Bucks found a way. And what Jrue did in the final minute, it just tells you all about how he's able to stay in a game and deliver. That was incredible to watch. Tough game for him, I think, overall, looking at the numbers, but clutch plays down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it was all that tough either when we consider, as
he's
you pointed
rusty.
To.
He's right. Yeah, he would admit
he was
rusty.
He would say he's still coming back and he's getting his legs back. So I think that was really the big part. But, I mean, the play that he made down the stretch, that shot obviously is the biggest play of the game. And I think what's most encouraging for this team overall is, you know, we talked about it before that Clippers game and leading up to that game too, Greg, with some of the losses that they had, where they were one of the worst teams in the clutch in the NBA this season. And they were, in terms of winning percentage, they were the best in the league. I know it didn't happen a whole lot, but they were 17-7 in those games last year. And granted, the clutch numbers can be deceiving at times, but still, they were not good this year. And now these are two huge wins to close out the way that you did against the Clippers on Sunday. And it may not have the star power and the same appeal as the Clippers when you say you beat the Grizzlies and you really had a grinded out game. But this was equally big, where this team, the one area they really struggled with this season was clutch situations. And now your final two wins heading into the break are games where you came through when it mattered most.
Yeah, it's kind of a random one-off road game here for the Bucks after that lengthy homestand. So you didn't really know what to expect going into tonight's game, but the Bucks able to eke out a win despite shooting just 29.4% from three. And really neither team shot the ball well from three. The Bucks got off to a pretty good start. It's stone cold in the second half, but again, came up with one when they needed it, and just under a minute left. Would love to get your thoughts not only on tonight's game, but sort of a broad view look at the first half of the season. We've got some midseason awards to hand out coming up in the program as well as we begin on Bucks Talk. 855-616-1620. Finally, at the All-Star break here, Justin, this is the kind of game where I didn't know what to expect. The Bucks jump out to an incredible lead, 14 points, and you're thinking, okay, this is a nice cruise control, empty the bench sort of game. It really got cold in the second half. I don't know if it was anything specific the Grizzlies were doing. Curious to know your thoughts. It had the kind of pace that you feel like both teams really liked and appreciated and were comfortable playing in. The volume of shots was pretty high. Shots were just not going in for the better part of that second half.
Yeah, it was just a poor shooting half where it kind of had similar themes to what we saw against the Denver Nuggets, where they just weren't hitting shots, and they had a decent amount of open looks. The shots just weren't going in. They missed their first 13 threes of the second half, and then Pat Connaughton comes through with their only three-pointer, and it came at a huge moment. And, you know, by the way, too, we talked about Drew Holiday and hitting the shot of the game, obviously. He made some huge plays down the stretch where we can talk about the defense. Although, if we go back to that steal, I'm still not quite sure how Drew Holiday ever had possession and was able to call timeout and didn't hit the base or hit the line there out of bounds, but nonetheless, I'll take it. But we do have to point out as well, Pat Connaughton has been really good for this team for the last two or so weeks, and I know he just had 8 points and 8 rebounds in the loss against the Nuggets, but tonight 15 points, 8 rebounds again, and you've seen more and more of that trust that we know is long-standing with Coach Budenholzer and Pat. But now we're seeing the trend of Pat Connaughton is the guy that when they want to go small and switch, Pat Connaughton's the other guy they put out there on the floor in those clutch situations, and he comes through. And Pat Connaughton has been a really big boost for this team's second unit for the last 2 weeks, and tonight was yet another big game for him.
Everybody in here, stat?
I know you all like stats, so let me give you some.
Boss, here's our stat for the day.
Hey, Justin.
Yeah.
What's your favorite glue?
My favorite glue.
Yeah, you're like a glue stick guy, you rubber cement, you do standard Elmer's. What do you like?
Rubber cement, actually, that is a good one. I guess I have the most experience using Elmer's, but I think rubber cement would be my favorite.
Were you the kind of guy that put the Elmer's on the palm of your hand and then peeled it off and made it look like you were peeling off skin?
I was not.
No, me neither, I guess. Rubber cement, do I even need to ask if you ever, you know, took a whiff?
I'm sure I did. I mean, between that and those big, thick black markers, yeah, just had a field day in the back of the classroom with those.
Well, it's part of the reason I don't have hair. Patty C is a glue guy. You got to have a glue guy. If you're going to be a good playoff team, you have to have a glue guy. And I know we kind of have fun with it, but the Pat on the ground meter, I think, adds one tonight, at least one. But those are the kind of plays that glue guys make, right? You just come up with an offensive rebound when you need one. You hit a big shot when you need to. You sort of get in the way and force the action on defense a little bit. Like, there are so many little things that happen throughout the course of the game. And when you look back at it, it's like, well, yeah, Pat was right in the middle of it. Like, guys like that are so invaluable around the league. Yeah, he's a classic glue guy, and he got 30 minutes tonight. Big-time minutes.
Do you have the minutes that he was on the ground? Is that your stat of the game? I was waiting for that.
I don't know how many minutes specifically he was on the ground. I think we'll add two to the Pat on the ground counter. And I agree with you. Drew Holiday did not have possession, nor was he involved when they were granted the timeout. But whatever. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm going to take it. Do me a favor, too, between you and Greg Hill. put together some type of intro where we can track Pat's minutes on the ground, but get Brett Favre in the locker room after the game saying pants on the ground when he was with the Vikings, and just try to figure out how to tweak it to Pat on the ground, and we'll use that as the intro for it.
I'm on it.
That, I'll say that has Greg Hill written all over it. Now, the best part is we have no idea when that will air. It'll just happen, and it'll just sort of be a part of the show. No, stat of the night, you alluded to it, but I think it's, you know, 9 threes at the half, and then 9 threes until a minute to go in the fourth quarter, and the 10th proves to be one of the more critical shots of the game. Like, winning despite not being at your best, I think, is a takeaway tonight for me.
It's been kind of a trend for this team where they're winning without hitting a whole lot of threes, but what's more important is the opponents aren't hitting a lot of threes lately for this team either, where I believe the makes that opponents are averaging are down by two. They're still basically shooting the same percentage, but I think we talked about it at the start of the year. It is crazy how many teams you see shooting 37% or above from three that you just have to accept, okay, well, we need to raise the baseline, but the Bucks aren't giving up those high volumes anymore. Some of it is luck, and some of it is they are better on the perimeter now, but we're not seeing 19 or 20, 18 makes routinely. It's been around, you know, 10 to 14 or so, and tonight it was Memphis didn't even hit 10. I think they had 9. The three-pointers were huge, and I think the Bucks had 6 of those 9 in the first quarter. I guess what I'll use, and it could have been a lot worse, but turnovers. And the Bucks had 7 turnovers in the first half, and the Grizzlies turned those into 6 points. If you just, from watching this game, you would have thought it was a lot more in the second half, and especially that third quarter, it was only 9, which it's still not great to have 16 turnovers and have 9.5, but it was only 9 in the second half, and again, 6 points that the Grizzlies turned that into. But that's how Memphis fueled that comeback in the third quarter, is turnovers. It killed the Bucks in the third quarter, and this was almost the bizarro game of last year's game in Memphis right before Christmas, where the Grizzlies led by double figures all the way until the fourth quarter, and that was when Jaren Jackson went off and was just hitting every three-pointer that he took, and the Bucks came back and won it. It kind of felt like it was going to be the opposite, where the Bucks led all the way until mostly the fourth quarter, and then Memphis came back behind Ja Morant, but again, that clutch play from the Bucks and limiting those turnovers, where the bulk of those 9 came in the third quarter.
You know, there's a series of empty possessions, too, where it felt like, you know, you're hovering around that 5-point deficit, you know, 2 shots and you're back in it, maybe on top. But, you know, I think Chris Middleton threw a lob to Giannis. It hit off the front of the rim. Drew had a bunny down low. Couldn't
Drew
connect,
had
right?
Lob, I mean, too, that was it almost went in, but you didn't connect on the lob.
Yeah, so I guess those don't go down as turnovers, but just missed opportunities. I thought that was going to haunt the Bucks a little bit tonight, but to their credit, if I have this right, they scored, or they finished the game scoring on 8 of their final 10 possessions. Some of that's from the line, but nonetheless, it went from empty possession after empty possession to 80% out of their final 10. So clutch when they needed to be.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the other thing is, you had big performances at the free throw line in terms of big moments at the line, and they're hitting shots. And we've started to turn the corner now where you think back to, I mean, Dante, for all the attention we pay to Giannis, Dante's around a 65% free throw shooter throughout the season, and that it was kind of the same last year. But Dante hit some big free throws tonight. Giannis is continuing to hit big free throws, and tonight was maybe the poorest of his performances we've seen lately, and he was still 5 of 9. So that's another thing that's going to be huge for this team in those clutch situations.
We gave you a lot of stats as part of our stat of the day. Anything else stand out to you? One thing above the rest?
I think just Pat Connaughton, you know, where if I read you some of the game logs that he's had recently, but this, to me, it really goes back to just before, or just after, I should say, you lost Drew Holiday, where it kind of started with that big performance that he had against the Raptors when he scored 20, but 15 points and 9 boards tonight. He had 8 points and 8 rebounds against the Nuggets, 7 and 8 against the Clippers, where he has had 5 or more rebounds in all but one of his last 8 or 9 games here. And it's the minutes, it's the productivity. We already talked about how he can switch, but not only is he giving you those productive minutes, he's knocking down a high volume of his three-pointers again. And on the year, he's got to be over 40%. I know he's right around that going into the Nuggets game. And he's hitting his threes at a high volume, but he's doing more. And as Coach likes to say all the time, make winning plays without scoring. I mean, that's Pat's minutes in a nutshell from what we've seen during this five or so game stretch.
Yeah, Bucks have some outstanding rebounding guards, 16 combined between DiVincenzo and Pat Connaughton in a 112-111 win. Entertaining game in Memphis. Bucks now off for a week, at least most of them. Giannis is back to being a number one overall pick. We'll explain that coming up on the other side. Also, 855-616-1620 if you'd like to join us here on the program. If you want to letter grade the Bucks first half, hey, we'll take it. Where do you think they net out? 23-14 headed into the break. It's Bucks Talk on 94.5 ESPN and 620 WTMJ.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Giannis spinning to the rim, knocked away, got it again. Giannis powers up in the lane, shot good. Wow, he just muscled that one in. 93-91. Giannis would not be denied. Bucks trail by two.
From traditional to obscure, we'll go through our midseason awards coming up in our next segment. We'll turn Greg Hill loose and see what he's come up with. Bucks earn a victory tonight, 112-111, closing out the first half of the regular season in style with an entertaining win. Not always pretty, but an entertaining win over the Memphis Grizzlies. Also as part of the festivities tonight in the NBA, Giannis is a number one overall pick. He's never been in this position because he's been the one drafting. But Team LeBron takes Giannis Antetokounmpo with the number one pick in the All-Star draft. This has to be a monumental evening for Giannis in more than one way. You get a win, you're the number one overall pick, Justin. Boy, can it get any better than that?
Yeah, I guess not. I mean, and by the way, yeah. Looking at those rosters, Team LeBron looks pretty stacked. I mean, you got LeBron, you got Giannis, you got Jokic, you got Luka.
Yeah, that's getting after it. Steph Curry's on that team. Jokic.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the one name I didn't mention, Steph Curry.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, just, yeah, that guy. A little more, I guess not. I was going to say a little more East heavy on Team Durant, but, yeah. It's relatively even split. Nonetheless, the All-Star game is coming up on March the 7th, so Giannis will represent the Bucks as far as we know, and he'll be the only member of the Bucks. I haven't seen the full rosters for three-point contest and dunk contest, but I did see they're bringing somebody in from the G League to participate in the dunk contest. That maybe gives you an idea what... It is not Mamadi. But hey, he is back with the team. Yeah. We talked about him last program, Justin. I didn't expect him to be on the roster within, I don't know, 24 hours of us talking about him. I'm still trying to figure out how this benefits him and the Bucks, but maybe it's just they're trying to control him because he's playing for a team that is not associated with the Bucks in the G League.
I wondered a couple of things when I saw that he was being recalled when he was. My first thought was, okay, so are they just basically using this game against the Grizzlies, you hate to use the phrase, but are they using it as basically vacation day and saying, we're not going to play Giannis, we're not going to play Drew, we're just going to give these guys extended time off going into the break, like we're seeing the Warriors did that, and the Lakers did it as well with LeBron, where you're just resting these guys. So if that's the case, you're going to need some big bodies, so maybe they're calling up Mamadi for that reason. As we saw with the minutes and the way the guys played tonight, that was not the case. My other thought was, and maybe this is it, was it kind of maybe the case that the Bucks' hands were forced in that they're not controlling him because he's playing with the Lakeland Magic, so it's not as the same as it would be if he was playing for the Wisconsin Herd. But also now he's been utilized as such, and now more and more teams have noticed because Mamadi has been one of, if not the breakout player, one of the three breakout players of the G League bubble. So now more and more teams have noticed him. So was this also a move of, let's get him out of there and get him back up here now before somebody else poaches him off of our two-way contract and signs him to their roster.
It's an interesting thought. I guess, what else does he need to prove? You know, I guess it maybe the Bucks just kind of sweep in and say, all right, well, we're putting you back on our roster so you can't get plucked off. It's kind of like a practice squad thing in the NFL, right? So that, yeah. That's at least the way I attribute it. But my initial thought was the same as yours. I was wondering if we might, you know, hear of an opt-out or somebody just maybe Giannis sits out this game because he's going to play in the All-Star game, which sounds weird, but or maybe he's going to opt out of the All-Star game. I don't know. But I was trying to think, how does this help the Bucks and how does it help Diakite? So I talked to Milt Newton, the Bucks assistant GM on Bucks Shootaround today, and I asked him about the move, and he said, well, you know, we had him in the G League because he wasn't playing. Okay, that makes sense. I don't think he's going to play for the Bucks unless there's some sort of wacky injury situation, so I don't know where he's going to get his run.
I heard that, and I heard that line of questioning on Shootaround. And you know, when I heard his answer, my initial thought was, I don't think Milt really understood the question. Otherwise, he's just dancing around it because it sounded as though your question was, what was behind the decision to call him back up now and call him out of the G League when he was down there just beasting and taking over? And now all of a sudden it's, hey, we're calling him up. So is there something to read into that?
Yeah, I didn't press too hard on it. Right, but I mean, it's Mamadi Diakite. I mean, it was a nice, blossoming young prospect, but it is interesting just based upon our conversation.
And that's the thing I think we need to stress, too, is, look, I'm as intrigued as anybody about Mamadi, and especially since Mamadi is going to be in the league if he does stick around in the NBA. He's going to be there because of his defense and the wingspan that he has, the athleticism. He is the prototypical switching big that you can throw out there. But let's also temper the expectations that now we do this every year, it seems like, where it was, you know, DJ Wilson steps in the injury when Ersan Ilyasova broke his nose for the 800th time, and DJ Wilson puts together some good games and shows you a switching ability, and now we latch onto, DJ's the guy that we got to play him more, and he's going to be a cornerstone of this team, or he's going to be a guy that we use going forward. And then we saw once the rotation settled back into place, wasn't quite used as much. And then it became Christian Wood. And look, I think you can still point to, we knew what Christian Wood was, and we knew he was an offensive guy. But the reason Christian Wood never latched on here was because, number one, he was blocked by a number of guys, and Giannis and Brook Lopez, and even guys like Ersan that we mentioned. But also defense, and how much the Bucks preach defense here. So Mamadi does that. But let's just slow down a little bit, because you're not going to go from a G League standout player to all of a sudden a huge integral piece of the rotation on a team that has aspirations to play for an NBA championship. Mm-hmm. It's just not how it works. So maybe we'll see him, but this does not mean Mamadi is all of a sudden in the rotation and, hey, he's going to be pushing Brook Lopez for minutes.
No, I don't. I think tempering expectations is wise, but you know, he becomes a guy you're hopeful that he can develop in the Bucks system at least. Because I'm with you on Christian Wood, but I'm happy for the guy. To be honest, he's doing some nice things with a team in Houston that is kind of scuffling along for a variety of reasons. But he's averaging a double double. He's made himself into a nice NBA player, a little more offensive minded than defense, as you point out, but. He's earned his right. He's earned his right and opportunities, and that's what I hope happens with Mamadi, but in a Bucks uniform, because the Bucks are pretty stacked, obviously, and he too is blocked. But nonetheless, he is back with the team. We shall see where that goes. No Sam Merrill tonight, which always disappoints Greg Hill. Maybe next time. Maybe next time, Greg. You can see his body language through our team's chat. We've got mid-season's awards to hand out. We'd also like to hear from you on the program at 855-616-1620. Yeah, go ahead and letter grade the Milwaukee Bucks after their first half performance. About where you thought they'd be? Yeah, tell you what I think after this. It's Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Welcome back to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Giannis driving, spinning to the corner. Connaughton for the lead. Got it! Pat C gives the Bucks a one-point lead. 108-107 Bucks. 37 seconds to go. Can you stop Ja Morant here?
The lone three-pointer made in the second half by the Milwaukee Bucks, it was a big one, made by Pat Connaughton, gave the Bucks a 108-107 lead with just under a minute to go. The answer to Ted's question, can they stop Ja Morant? Well, he had 7 at the half, 35 for the game, so largely the answer to that question was no, Justin. I'll give that guy credit, man. It didn't matter who was on him and where Morant was on the floor. When he gets rolling, he's just one of those guys that can fill it up in a hurry, and he sells it well. There was a time I think he kind of ran into Giannis. They challenged the play. It didn't look like Giannis did too much, but I get the call. But he knows how to play. He sells things. He is lightning fast, and when he gets rolling, man, look out. You can see why there's some excitement there. They got nice guards. And Dylan Brooks is a nice player too, but cold in the first half and just dynamite in the second half.
Yeah, and I mean, keep in mind, too, we talked about the game in Memphis last year between these two teams. That was the Jaren Jackson Jr. game, and Jaren Jackson Jr. hasn't even played this year, so that's another big intriguing piece. Brandon Clark, too, but, you know, I knew Ja Morant wasn't a great three-point shooter. I didn't realize what his percentage was until I looked it up just before the game, and it made sense when you watched how the Bucks defended him, too, where they were giving the Giannis treatment, basically, and saying, okay, take it. We dare you. Could you guess what he shoots on the year from three?
31%? 32?
23%.
That's terrible.
He is a career 31% three-point shooter, which also isn't great. That's Giannis territory, but 23% this year for a guard.
Yeah, it's not a great-looking shot. You know, again, he's the kind of guy that if he hits one, you worry about it. He's a microwave, man. He can heat up. And you also understand why you need to give him space, because I don't know if there's a player in the league he can't get by, and he can certainly elevate. My God. He's an exciting young player. There's a fun factor to the Grizzlies. It's, you know, a little sloppy right now, but I think they're well coached. I like seeing Taylor Jenkins do his thing. They maybe overachieved a year ago and are kind of on that same plane this year.
You know what's interesting is you and I were talking about this before or during one of the breaks here, and just the schedule that the Bucks have, where part of you is relieved and like, all right, we're literally halfway through now. So this was their 36th game, and you get a week off. And then it's going to be a grind in the second half again. And what we were talking about was there's 9 back-to-backs for the Bucks, and you are more hoping – I mean, obviously you're hoping that for a number of reasons, but if you're a team like the Bucks as well, you're just hoping not only that you can avoid health and safety protocols, but that you don't have any teams on your schedule that are going to run into that, because then all of a sudden those 9 back-to-backs could, before you know it, become 12 or more, that they just have to piece in these games rescheduled onto what would have been off days. So that's the real looming threat with this second half, whereas in the first half you knew it was just, we'll push it off to the second half and we can spread it out a little more. But Memphis, when we were talking about the teams that had a lot of games to make up in the second half, I believe it's Memphis that had the most to make up. So as I look through this schedule, the Bucks have 4 instances, I believe, in the second half where they have 2 days off between games. The Memphis Grizzlies have none, where it is literally every other day or back-to-backs that the Grizzlies play in the second half. So for teams like them and the Wizards, it's going to be check your schedule to see where you have them there, because you could be catching a team with absolutely no legs left.
Yep. The first
Greg,
half.
Greg, were you even alive when this song was out?
No, but it's played at plenty of my graduations. Okay. So, the first half season is over. It's rare that I get you guys with just the music, but I'm actually pretty proud of myself. The first half of the season is over, which means we graduate from that and move on to the second half. And as we go on and we remember all the best NBA times we had together, and as the season changes, come whatever, we will still be Bucks Talk friends forever. Now, what in the world does all of this mean? It means we have NBA superlatives to award. I will have the categories and the choices and the nominees. However, I'm definitely open to suggestions if you guys have better choices. Another classic Bucks Talk segment. Here we go. We're going to stay...
Do you also have the nominees placed in a separate Zoom call that we can welcome them in?
Oh, that would be great.
Oh, that'd be nice.
And then some technical difficulties to be involved.
And then Jason Sudeikis just shows up.
Just a ramble in his tie-dye hoodie. I'd be down
with it. It's a great hoodie.
It's a great hoodie. So we'll start Bucks-centric. Bucks fan favorite in the first half. Nominees include Bobby Portis or Thanasis Antetokounmpo.
Come on. I don't think it's close.
Recently, 43.
Look, I'm not trying to throw strays at Thanasis because I think he is a productive player in the minutes that he's used, but to me, it's Bobby Portis in a landslide.
I know what I'm going to get out of Bobby Portis every night. I never know what I'm going to see out of Thanasis, but I know I'm going to be darned entertained. So if you consider the amount of minutes he plays plus entertainment value, whether it's good or bad, it's entertaining. There might be a little more in the Thanasis cup for me.
Look, I'm just going to direct you to MKE Bucks Reddit, to the subreddit, and I don't see any Thanasis Reddit posts over memes for Thanasis. I mean, you have Bobby Portis, you have Bobby Portis de Rossi, and all that going on. It's Bobby Portis.
So good. All right. Okay.
I do like Bobby Buckets. Okay.
Okay. Moving on. Another Bucks-centric award to give out. Best Bucks moment of the first half. The team hitting 29 threes in a game, or more recently, the Giannis dunk at the end to ice the Clippers game.
I'm going to go with the dunk because I think the game meant more, and it was a grind, and it was a national TV, kind of a signature win, if you want to call it that, playoff-type feel. It felt like a bigger game than most. So, one to blow out. It was tight, entertaining. I'll go with the dunk. And fans saw it, too. That was nice.
Yeah. I would lean towards the dunk, especially if you said win, but I think you can make a case that in terms of moment, they made history. Sam Merrill made the history-making three.
I mean,
so it wasn't the best win, but it was a big moment, and it's in the record books, and it's still there, so why not?
It's going to be there for a while as well. All right, let's go out.
We hope.
Let's go out to the league now. Most disrespectful moment of the first half. Nominees include LeBron turnaround three at the corner where he looked towards his bench, didn't even watch the shot, or Anthony Edwards yamming all over Utah Watanabe. I had to reread a second time. What's more disrespectful, me mispronouncing his last name or the actual moment?
Well, LeBron looked at his own bench, right? I mean, it wasn't the opposing team, so I don't think that was disrespectful. It's just one of those things LeBron can do. But it was his own team he was staring at, so I don't know. I don't know if that was disrespectful in my book. So if we're looking at the lay of the language here, I'll go with the Edwards dunk because that's a poster.
I think you're only allowed to choose it if you can pronounce who it was that he dunked on. So, Greg, we'll give you redemption here. Do you want to try to say who it was?
Utah Watanabe.
Oh, there you go. Boom. Utah Watanabe.
Second time.
Just say it fast. Here's the deal with everybody, Greg, and everybody listening as well. If you don't understand or you don't know how to pronounce the name, just say it fast and say it confidently. And even if it's wrong, people are going to think you're saying it the right way. So just say it fast and pretend like that's the way to say it. I would agree, though. It was Anthony Edwards doing what he did to Utah Watanabe.
A little broadcasting 101 from Justin Garcia. I like that. We have bonus segments within the other segments. Biggest snub of the first half. These are not all-star snubs, friends. We are talking about moments such as Juan Toscano-Anderson, his name literally being omitted from a highlight, where his reality, he was the highlight with the celebration for the Steph Curry 3, or the Reggie Bullock having a jersey that had two different numbers on it. A 25 on the front, his correct number, and a 23 on the back, and no one making a change until 5 minutes and 30 seconds left in the first quarter.
I don't think I saw that. That's beautiful.
Wait a minute. So what was the category again?
This was his biggest snub, so kind of like we didn't really notice until, oh, yeah, I guess, such as, you know, taping the front and the back jersey that have different numbers on it.
I mean, hopefully I'm not stepping on toes here, Greg, but could we offer a write-in as well
Please.
To what happened to the Thunder about a week ago where... Who was it the Bulls they were playing? They were playing a team that was wearing red jerseys. And the Thunder were wearing their, I think it's their city edition, their orange jerseys. They played an entire half and realized, you know, red and orange look pretty similar. The league had to call into Oklahoma City and say, hey, at halftime, you're switching and you're wearing your white jersey. So the Thunder came out in the second half wearing different jerseys than they wore for the first 24 minutes.
I will absolutely accept that as an answer. That's fantastic. Thank you.
I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. Like every team's got like 9 different uniforms. Or maybe it's caught. Maybe they catch it usually ahead of time.
I'd be told it was the Atlanta Hawks they were playing.
Okay.
Oh, God. Just orange and red.
Well,
that's just
the
so
winner. It's not even in the rundown, but that's
look,
the winner.
Not only the confusion, but picture watching that on TV and just watching... Orange and red go back and forth on your screen.
With an orange basketball over the... Oh, the logo in the middle. Oh, my goodness. So bad. All right, moving on. The best goof of the first half. Draymond Green chucking up a prayer from 34 feet away with plenty of shot clock left, trying to draw a foul, thus making the Warriors lose. Or Jamal Murray electing to pull up for a fast break three as the Nuggets were only down 2 and the clock winding down, his lane to the rim wide open, by the way, making the Nuggets lose.
Anything involving Draymond Green, I'm going to lean that direction. He's probably cost him a couple of wins this year. I think he's admitted such as well. But anytime he stumbles, I'm there to applaud. I enjoy watching that.
I mean, how did he describe that as well? Wasn't it? It was the smartest dumb play.
Smartest
or was it
play,
the dumbest
and then
smart
it became
play?
The dumbest play. Something like that.
I mean, I would still go with the Nuggets one because that was just horrifically bad. Not only Jamal Murray's decision to pull up as early as he did, but also, what are you doing if you're one of his teammates? Where these guys still just camped out behind the 3-point line instead of running to the basket with 5 seconds left. That's also, you like to rag on Draymond Green. We've seen similar decision-making from Jamal Murray in big spots. I mean, think back to they got past the Jazz by the skin of their teeth last year in Game 7, but Jamal Murray did the same thing where they got a rebound, and he decided, you know what, let's start a fast break instead of let's hold on to this for 10 seconds and make them foul us and ice the game.
Two really quick ones here to wrap it up. The weakest ejection of the first half, Devin Booker rolling the ball at the referee, or Donovan Mitchell, most recently, being ejected basically at the hand of Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I kind of like that. I was, you know, it's usually Embiid that ends up on the wrong end of those things, but he finally got somebody else to take the bait. But both are a little light, that's for sure.
There was nothing weak about that. It was so great. And it was also one of the other scenarios we have talked about on this show in the past. My favorite technical foul. I forget who the official was. But the official, Joel Embiid, turned to him and gave the motion of, hey, you going to tee him up or what? And gets the tee. The official did the two fingers technical where he just did the two index fingers. Tee, you're gone.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Justin, if you're given the tee, are you going to do that, right? It's like the thumbs down version of the technical foul. Or are you going to come in there and, like, just, I mean, really pop it, you know?
Just pop it. Do the, like, Enrico Palazzo and just get out there doing these slides halfway across the court.
Oh, man.
Yep. Jackknifing your way across to the scorer's table.
The last... Oh, one day we're going to play a game, how you would call this, and I'm going to get each of you guys to do your own ref calling each penalty. But until then, we'll wrap up...
I like that.
We'll wrap up with this one, the MV Itch or the MV Ick, so I can add more names. The most valuable player whose name ends in Ick or Itch. We have nominees including Boban Marjanovic, Bohan Bogdanovic, Goran Dragic, Luka Doncic, Boban Bogdanovic.
Wait a minute. Hang on a second. I think it's Boban Marjanovic, Bogdan Bogdanovic, and Bojan Bogdanovic. I think you had a combo platter of names there, just along with Luka Doncic, Goran Dragic.
What I've learned from the vets is say it fast. And that's confident.
I was going to say, even mispronounce it and just throw it in there and say it's one and the same.
Yeah. Wildly entertaining category here, Justin. I think it's I think it's Luka in a landslide, but I got to say, that for sheer entertainment value, Boban's not that far behind Luka, because I find myself very entertained and smiling whenever Boban gets on the floor.
Wait, so we're talking about the MVP itch here?
Itch? Yes.
The MV itch.
Oh, it's Nikola Jokic. It's not even close.
Oh, there you go.
Oh. We leave him out. I got wrapped
up. I mean, he's literally the MVP. Not only the MVP with that ending of the name, he's the MVP of the league.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that wins. That wins. That I don't know how that was left out of the nominations, but I was just going off the nominations that Greg had, all the nominees. It's an oversight on both of our parts. I guess if you're into that thing, Justin, the best player in the league right now, yeah, whatever. Was that it, Gene? Is that it? That's our awards?
That's it. That's the first. Stay tuned for the second half season awards later in the year.
I love it. No MVP, no Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year. That would be too easy. See, this is why you turn into Bucks Talk. It borderlines an obscure. We love the frivolity. And we've got a final segment coming up after this.
What can you do with the second half, though? Like, instead of Ich, you could do, like, Americanized names, and anyone that ends in son, go with that?
I was thinking more like hyphenated names. So Gilgeous Alexander. You could go down that path. Right? There's a lot to throw into that mix, I would think. Or enough, anyway, right? You just need four or five.
Carter Williams, obviously, would be towards the top of that list.
Ooh, Jason Kidd loves big guards, that's for sure. We will wrap up Bucks Talk on the other side on WTMJ and 94.5 ESPN.
Stick around. Bucks Talk continues next. Presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Here come the Bucks, no timeout. Holiday, 5 seconds to go. Drew fades the jumper. Good! 2 seconds to go. 112-111.
Biggest bucket of the game for Drew Holiday came with 2 seconds left. Helped the Bucks build a lead over the Memphis Grizzlies. Ultimately, they would secure a 112-111 victory in the final game of the first half of the regular season. Wrapping up Bucks Talk, Greg Matzik and Justin Garcia with you. We will next be with you a week from tonight when the Bucks begin the second half of the season against the New York Knicks. A little walk around the NBA. Pretty busy night in the association, as you might expect, as a lot of teams getting in their final game before the All-Star break. The Heat, they've turned it on a little bit of late. They pick up a win over the Pelicans, 103-93. It was the Nuggets earning a win over the Indiana Pacers. You know, the Knicks are 19-18. They got a victory over the Pistons earlier tonight. The Suns now 23-11. They're facing the Warriors right now, about 9 minutes left to go in the fourth. Bigger surprise to you, Justin, one from the East, one from the West. Is it the Knicks or the Suns?
Oh, boy. I mean, I guess I'm surprised that the Suns are where they are, as high in the Western Conference as they are, but you would have to say the Knicks, because even assuming the Knicks were going to be better this season, I think most people assume that meant they're 19-18 now. You thought, okay, they're going to be better under Tibbs, so what? They're going to be like 15-22, something like that. But, I mean, I think they won 19 or 20 games all of last season, and their over-under coming into the season, I believe, was 22.5, 21.5, somewhere in that range. So they're almost knocking it out already in the first half. They have to be the surprise, because we knew Phoenix would be good, not second seed in the West, but we knew they'd be good.
Yeah, so Phoenix is definitely built upon what they did in the bubble. And remember, they were shut out of the playoffs, and that was like, I don't know, the great mystery of, hey, why not? Just, hey, they had the better, they had a better bubble than anybody. Let them go. But 23-11 with a roster that I think is more professional with Chris Paul, certainly has the ability to be explosive with Devin Booker. DeAndre Ayton's kind of a beast. Even Frank Kaminsky, the old Wisconsin standout, is performing well. Dario Saric off the bench. That's a key reserve. That's not a bad bench piece to have. So they definitely have some pieces there. But I agree with you. I did not see anything in the New York Knicks. I mean, I like R.J. Barrett. I didn't see Julius Randle becoming an all-star. I figured they'd be a little bit better on defense, just the Tom Thibodeau effect. But he's not the easiest cat to wrap your arms around, right? I mean, just he's got a kind of a tough school, old school, tough-minded approach, and it doesn't always work, especially when you're losing. But he's getting something out of that team that I didn't expect. So the Knicks are a playoff team, but the season ended today. It's not something I thought I would say at the end of the first half.
Yeah, I mean, Julius Randle's been a great story. And, I mean, I know people early in the season, too, pointed to the, well, he's the first player to put up X, X, and X since this player did it. And, I mean, we've reached the point with some of those numbers where you can find any grouping and say, well, I mean, when's the last time a player averaged 17 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists? Where it just gets more and more obscure. I do think Julius Randle's been aided by the boost that the Knicks got early in the season with the rebounding numbers, especially when opponents were just missing open shots, and he was getting a lot of those rebounds. But he's been very good, and, you know, he's a guy that was a lottery pick, and I think people assume this is what he would have been doing 5 to 6 years ago when he was first coming into the league. It just took some time. He's a nice player, and they have a lot of nice pieces there in New York. I just question, can they keep this up? I know the East has been a disaster, but can they keep this up for the second half of the season?
Yeah, a valid question. I mean, if you're sub 500, you are in the mix in the Eastern Conference. Let's see here. Look at the Raptors. They're in the A spot at 17-19. The Hawks are three positions back, so 11th at 16-20. I mean, they're just a half a game away from, you know, potentially being in that play-in category. So that's going to make for an interesting run to the end of the month here, Justin, because of the trade deadline. There's only a very small handful of teams that you'd look at and say, well, they've got no shot to be a playoff team. I do wonder if a team like the Bulls or maybe the Hawks, I know they're trying to build something in Atlanta, but they still need more pieces here. The Wizards are not totally out of it, but will they look at this season and say, it's not worth spinning our wheels, being a number 9 seed that squeaks our way in? Let's look long-term here and try and build this thing the right way for long-term success instead of, you know, wheel spinning. I'm wondering how many teams will choose that as the option at the trade deadline.
I don't think the Wizards will be one of those teams. And I mean, especially now, the Wizards are actually playing pretty well of late here. That you think about, the Wizards had the worst record in the East, even worse than the Pistons, and they're at least in that play-in conversation now. But, you know, if we talk about the surprises in the East, the Knicks are going to be listed as the biggest surprise, probably in basketball and in the Eastern Conference especially, just because it's the Knicks and what Julius Randle is doing to be an all-star. But I mean, I have been just as surprised and more impressed with what the Charlotte Hornets have done. That they were right there. I think there was a game separating the two teams, the Hornets and Knicks, last year. There's a game separating them now. But, I mean, to me, what Charlotte has done seems even more legit than what New York has done, because LaMelo Ball, ever since being moved into the starting lineup, looks like an absolute star. Gordon Hayward looks like the guy that he was in Utah. And even guys like Malik Monk that we talked about when the Hornets beat the Bucks, Malik Monk is all of a sudden showing those signs of promise that he had early in his career as well. Well, it's still early, but Malik Monk has looked every bit the guy that the Hornets drafted in the first round, too. So, to me, the Charlotte Hornets can't go unmentioned either with what they've done this season.
Second half of the season for the Bucks, 1 week from tonight against those New York Knicks. If you want to catch full episodes of Bucks Talk, check it out at WisconsinOnDemand.com. Download the Wisconsin On Demand app. It is free. Download podcasts, your favorite programming. It is all right there. Check out Bucks Talk On Demand whenever you please. Been a good half of the season. Second half coming up in about a week. That's when we will greet you next with Bucks Talk. Enjoy the rest of your night.